The FIR Podcast Network presents Amp Up Your Social Media, an audio podcast that brings you insights and ideas from the leading practitioners of social media marketing.
Amp Up Your Social Media is sponsored by GaggleAmp. Empower your employees, partners, and resellers to share your social media messages. And by SafeLinks. SafeLinks automatically tells you when links you put into social media go bad, so you can take action.
Here's your host, Glenn Gaudet.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media. My name is Glenn Gaudet. I am here with Lilac Bullock. Lilac, thank you for joining the show.
Hi, thanks very much. Great to be here.
Lilac, can you tell our audience a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Lilac Bullock. I'm the founder of Sociable. Sociable is a digital marketing agency. We're based in the UK, but we work with clients all over the world, and we help them achieve more brand awareness, social sales, and to generate a real ROI on their investment in marketing.
Now, Lilac, I assume that you always haven't done social media. So what was your first exposure to social media, and what kind of pulled you in?
Well, actually, it was in my first business. I had another business. I had a virtual office back in 2006, and I was experimenting with Twitter and Facebook, I think, in 2007, so pretty much quite early on, and was getting some really, really good results from it in terms of traffic. I've always been obsessed with traffic, and I think I just saw a massive gap in the market there that could make a real difference. And also, being based in the UK, primarily it was a wonderful opportunity to network with people overseas, and I think it was that whole relationship building and nurturing and connecting with other people that was the massive difference for us.
Now, being based out of are you out of London itself?
We're not far from London.
Okay,
so yeah.
Do you, because you obviously, you see what's going on in the United States, you see what's going on in Europe and elsewhere in the world. Is it pretty ubiquitous, social media, or do you see some nuances that take place in different regions?
I think there's a lot of crossover and a lot of similarity. I think the only things that sometimes change is perhaps the tone or the language. I think Americans are much more sharing than the UK. They share much more than the UK. The UK are like, oh, where should I share your stuff? You know, so they're less sharing than. But I think Americans generally are much more positive and happier than English people. I don't know. That's just something I've experienced. I don't know. I think people who get and love social media have the same mindset and the same philosophy. But I think it depends in certain states and where you go. It's more, to be honest, it's more about the industry rather than the location.
So I have to dig into the sharing a little bit just so I understand what you mean. So when you say sharing, are you mean sharing of other people's content, sharing of themselves, sharing what they're doing at any given moment? What?
I think sharing of other people's content. Everybody wants more shares, you know, and with the increase of people being able to purchase, you know, you can buy anything these days, can't you? But everybody wants real quality shares ultimately, because that's where you get the results back from. Sharing your own content. People want people to share their content, don't they?
So when somebody comes to you and says, Lilac, we need your help, you know, we're thinking about really kicking up our social media or starting it in some situations. What's that conversation go like with you? How do you kind of break it down for them and assess really what they need to do and where they start?
Yeah, sure. That's a really good question. And every company and individual is obviously very, very different and has different goals. And I think it's about working out what they actually want to achieve and then working backwards, because people make presumptions that everyone just wants sales out of social media, but actually there's a lot more to it than that. It's a fantastic brand awareness tool. It's very good for listening to what their customers are saying about them and for managing brand reputation as well. And obviously, you know, the usual driving traffic and all of that. So we look at what they want to achieve, where their audience is, what kind of tone of voice, what messaging they want to do, and try and come up with a strategy that obviously achieves all of that, and look at their time frames and those kind of areas for them.
What are the biggest assets that people tend to have that they overlook from a social media perspective, whether it be content, whether it be just their own voice? What are those things that you see in companies that a lot of times they don't even realize they already have?
Well, I think it's about being human. You know, everyone, you know, we speak to a lot of people and they say, oh, we're not professional copywriters and things like that. And the truth is I'm not. You know, I mean, we obviously have copywriters within our team here at Sociable, but myself, I'm not. And I think social media has really changed a lot of what's being shared online. And I think value and being human and personable is much, much more important than a beautifully well-written article. So I think there's a lot of fear as well. People get nervous when they share things that nobody will like them. It's kind of like a bit of a popularity thing, isn't it? And who's going to be the first one on the dance floor? You know, nobody wants to be the first one. So, but yes, I think it's sometimes the unknown, isn't it?
But do you also want to be the second one? I mean, do you want to be the Johnny come lately?
Believe you me, I'm the one on the stage. I'm really sad, but I've always been like that. But yeah, hence I named the company Sociable. I think it's really interesting because, you know, my name is so different. And as a child, I hated it. You know, growing up, nobody could pronounce it, and still people can't pronounce it. And everyone, you want to be the same. You know, you're brought up, you know, you don't want to be different. Whereas now, actually, it's good to be different. It's good to stand out. And where possible, I would always recommend people to be the first one to leave a comment or to like, because you're the one who will get noticed more.
That leads me to where a lot of people, I think, have a challenge with, and that is in commenting, right? So social media isn't all about just putting something out there, putting a tweet out there, you know, putting a Facebook up there, or a LinkedIn status update. There's a lot to be said about the conversations that take place, and a lot of conversations take place in the commenting of content that's been posted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What should people be thinking about when they comment? I mean, from a business and a professional point of view, what is it that they should be, what's the strategy around comments?
Well, I think it depends what you want to achieve. I mean, you know, we have people who constantly comment on everything we post, and that's fantastic. And I think they do it. I mean, people comment on certain blogs because they're popular and they want to be seen. So they have a strategy that if they're commenting on these blogs, they will get seen and the traffic back. Other people have a different strategy in that they want to build a relationship with that person, or other people will comment because they either completely agree with what you've said or the complete opposite. So people comment for different reasons, and getting people to comment and engage is one of the hardest things on social media. There's a lot of lurkers, what I call lurkers. People, you know, read a lot of things. They may not share. They may not comment. They may think that post is wow and amazing, but there's still a lot of education in terms of getting people to share and also leave comments.
So when you're building your own media assets, then you should obviously think about commenting. How did you all do it? You mentioned that earlier when we spoke that you'd just gone through a website redesign.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And it's beautiful looking, by the way. But
thank you. That's great.
I'm curious what drove it, and, you know, what elements did you not have before that you pulled into this one?
We made a lot of changes, actually. I think we wanted it to, so in all honesty, Sociable was initially me, and it grew considerably into an agency. So it grew from me working as a self-employed person and being predominantly a blogger to becoming a fully fledged agency with having, you know, staff and working with clients all over the globe. So we wanted the website foremost to present that and to be seen as an agency and not just all about me. So as much as I like everything to be about me, it was time to, you know, make it more about Sociable and less me as well. Although obviously I'm the founder and very, very proud of it. So that was the main focus for why we changed it. But what we also did, and it's very early days because we only launched literally this week, was we removed our pop-up. We had a pop-up for a list building. So we're really interested to see how that develops and whether we can still build our list. But what people have to remember is that, you know, we've been around, me particularly, I've been in the digital space for quite a long time, and I've built up quite a good large and loyal following. So it's much easier for somebody like myself to generate comments, to get likes and shares, than somebody starting out fresh.
One of the things that strikes me when I look at it is, it's, you know, when you first go to the site, and for those of you listening, if you want to check this out, it's sociable.co.uk. And I go there and I see numbers. and it really, it's really interesting, because a lot of times people think of agencies as just, it's a lot more creative. And while this is a beautiful site and it's very creative, but what pops for me are the numbers. You even have the numbers of followers down on your social media accounts down at the bottom, which I think is very unique. And can you talk to me about that?
Well, one of the things that we wanted to get across is every business wants to do, they want to have a USP. And obviously, you know, we are a digital marketing agency and we're competing against lots of the other large digital marketing agencies who are equally very, very good. And how we can stand out above all of them is that we actually have more social proof than all of them. And that's not just in terms of followers, but also in terms of shares. I mean, some of our blog posts have had over 130,000 shares, and these are just one blog post. So how we stand out is that we actually practice what we preach. So clients come to us because they want to generate a more engaged hub. They want to generate more shares and more comments. And we can show them, well, actually, we've actually achieved this. We can prove it. And, you know, use us to help, you know, achieve it for yourself. So, yeah, so that was our kind of USP.
That's pretty powerful, because a lot of people that we talk to might be the first folks into the company who are either responsible for doing social media or responsible for getting social media going. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the challenges that they have a lot of times, because they're the new kids on the block when it comes to the marketing department, they don't always have that direct tie-in to get the kind of budget that they would want.
Yeah.
And so the challenge that they face a lot of times is justification. How do I justify additional spend, additional resources, additional time to allocate towards social? And what's powerful about what you're doing here is you really come across as people who understand analytics, and analytics is a direct tie-in to value. So I'm curious how you position value of social media from an analytics point of view or from a cost justification point of view.
Yeah, I mean, I may say so myself, I'm quite anal in terms of the whole analytical side of things. It's very frustrating. I mean, I check our stats daily, you know, periodically throughout the day. And I check all sorts of different types of stats and things like that. And I think, you know, when you're online, if you're not measuring and testing and constantly changing things and to improve them, that, you know, you can't get the results. You need to know what you're doing, what's working and what's not. So I think the whole measuring and analytical side of things is critical. And, you know, and if you're not doing that, then really you should be doing anything online, because you don't know how good it's good or how bad it is.
What are the key numbers that tend to pop up as ways that somebody, again, who's looking to get additional budget or justification, are they reach numbers? Are they click-through numbers? Is it lead gen?
It really depends on what they want to achieve. You know, I mean, we work with some clients who, I'm not going to name names, but, you know, who are have a very, very high profile, that, you know, they have millions of members, and but their engagement is very, very low, and they want to increase their engagement. And I think people don't realize that actually having an engaged audience and having a large fan base is one of the hardest things to achieve in social media. It's very, very easy to get likes and shares. You know, I mean, you can buy them off Fiverr if you really want, but to actually have a targeted and loyal and engaged community is something you cannot buy, you know. I mean, obviously you can work with an agency to buy it, but you can't actually go out, you know, and buy all the fake stuff if you wanted to go down that road. So I think, you know, social media does take time as well. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges we face as an agency working with clients, because it's very, very different to sales. Social media marketing is ultimately about building relationships, nurturing them, and ultimately, hopefully, generating sales on the back of that. Whereas sales is a very, very different approach. And I think companies need to understand the two, and they go hand in hand, but they don't work on their own, if that makes sense.
Is there an example you can point to on a way either you or point to somebody else has done it that has increased engagement? So, you know, you talked about, you know, clients that you have with lots of followers, mm-hmm. but low engagement. How do they beef that up?
There's lots of different ways. And I think, you know, this is where you've got to be much more creative. Content is a critical part of it. And I think content is the hub of social media and really changes the way social media works. And it's a great way to position yourself and how you want to be perceived as well. Competitions are very, very clever as well. I think ultimately understanding what your audience is, what they want, and their language and their tone, so that you can resonate with them, makes a big difference as well. So one of our clients is a social networking gaming site, and obviously the language that we have to use to connect with the gamers is very different to, you know, the corporate world, you know. So by understanding as much as possible about your audience, and you can reach to them much easier.
And that engagement needs to be responded to, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's really interesting. I spoke at an event at the Digital Content Summit a couple of weeks ago, and I hosted a round table, and one of the banks was there, actually. I won't say who. It was one of the leading largest banks in the UK. And they have a policy that they're not allowed to respond on social media because they can't get involved, you know, in all sorts. And it's just shocking, really, because, you know, he's a very, very large, big brand who's not engaging and responding to people, be it complaints or praise. So, yeah. and going back to the whole responding thing, that's something, a really interesting valid point, because I always say to companies, be very careful for what you wish for, because, you know, one of the challenges that we face at Sociable is actually having the resources to respond to everyone. You know, everyone, you know, I have a lot of followers and we receive a lot of comments and shares, and taking the time to respond to them is incredibly time consuming. So you have to be very, very careful. So to make sure that you actually have enough resources to actually do the responding once you do achieve the successful campaign that you want to have.
I think it's very wise to say, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Because you just might get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then people don't plan for that as well. So, you know, I mean, I remember a few months ago, you know, there were days when I could spend 6 hours just on my Twitter alone. And that, you know, it's got to the stage where I have to have help. You know, I cannot manage it all on my own now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
this is really helpful. We've got to round out the show, but I'm curious, is there one thing that you can point to that people who are listening to the show can start putting into action today to really improve their social media marketing?
Yeah, sure. I think content is a really, really big part of social media. And I think if you want to position yourself as an expert or the go-to person, I think this is how you can really get that to come across. And also, you know, don't just be broadcasting. You know, it's really important that you engage and really, really do think about where your audience is. Don't just follow the crowds and just join Twitter and Facebook. You know, think about the other social networks like StumbleUpon, and Reddit and the smaller ones, you know, I say smaller, they still have, you know, millions of users. So really do take the time to research as well and try and be different. Don't be afraid to be controversial. You know, some of our most controversial posts have achieved more shares than anything. So it pays to be different and be yourself and enjoy it. Ultimately, if you don't enjoy chatting with people online, then you need to.
You probably shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, absolutely.
Well, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
If people want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Yeah, sure. So it's sociable.co.uk. My Twitter handle is Lila Bullock, and we also have Sociable Team as well. So come and say hello, and I promise I will respond, or one on my team will if I don't.
Lilac, thank you very, very much. And thank you to all of our listeners for listening to another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media.
You've been listening to Amp Up Your Social Media on the FIR Podcast Network, brought to you in association with Lawrence Reagan Communications, serving communicators worldwide for more than 35 years. You'll find more information at www.reagan.com. That's R-A-G-A-N. Amp Up Your Social Media is a podcast about how to get the most out of social media, hosted by Glenn Gaudette of Gagalamp. Amp Up Your Social Media is part of the FIR Podcast Network, a series of business podcasts founded by Neville Hobson and Shel Holtz. The anchor podcast is the Hobson and Holtz Report, a weekly show presented since January 2005. For more information about FIR, to see show notes for the podcasts, and to subscribe, visit www.forimmediaterelease.biz. You can also subscribe via iTunes and other podcast directories. We welcome your comments about Amp Up Your Social Media. Join the conversation in the FIR community on Google+. Look for the FIR Podcast Community or email us at FIRcomments@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.